All right. Well, there'll probably be a few more that'll come on. Again, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, depending on what part of the world you're in right now. We are glad to see you. Some we've seen today, I think for the first time this year, not for the first time, but the first time this year. And, it's good to see you in the study today. As you know, those that were on live last week, realized that we had to stop our study kind of at midpoint, not quite midpoint, but, had to put it on pause simply because we had a bad connection. Had I known how simple the fix would have been, I could have repaired it, but turned out just a bad doggle. I think that's what they call those things. So we're good to go now. Today is Zoom study number 5 again for 2024. And as you know, as I said, we had to stop last week, but it's been fixed. And Lord willing, we will be able to finish the study today. We're going to continue the series we started, asking the question of what I believe is a very important question for the 21st century church in these last days. Simply, why angels? Why angels? And this will be part 2 of the series. If I understand the word of God correctly, angels will play a significant role in the last day. And, it's my sincere conviction that the better we understand their role and why God created them, the more effective we're going to be as a church working in partnership with them as they assist the church. And, God help us all to continue to have great expectations for how God is going to use his church collectively, but also use his church individually. And when I say individually, I mean you and I individually. If this is the first time you've joined our study, either live or by recording, please know we are genuinely, sincerely honored that you've taken the time to be with us. As I say each week, I don't take your presence on these studies for granted. If there's anyone you feel that would benefit from these studies, then please feel free to forward the Zoom link to them. We'd love to have them join us. Even though you may have been live on the study last week and did hear part of it, we are going to start from the beginning, and I'm going to teach the lesson today as if I were just starting it brand new. And, I pray you understand that I'm doing that, obviously, not just so that it's not interrupted, but for those that do, we have many people that watch the study by recording. They're not able to be on live, but they do watch it by recording, and we certainly want to make that available to them. So, Brother Gwynn, missionary, would you open your voice? You're already unmiked or unmuted, so will you open your voice? Will you pray over our study today?
Lord Jesus, we thank you for this day, Lord. Thank you for your word. Thank you what we're going to receive today, Lord. We open our hearts to receive it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Sister Catherine, I see you on today. Would you be able to read for me? Okay, very good. Very good. So this is lesson 5. We're simply asking the question, why angels? Why angels? And this is part 2. So to begin today, I want us to read from just 2 of multiple references in the Bible where angels are directly talked about. We're going to read from Luke chapter 22, verses 40 through 44. Luke 22, 40 through 44. Would you be able to read, Sister Catherine?
Yes. Luke 22, 40 through 44.
Mm-hmm.
And when he arrived at the place, he said to them, "Pray that you may not enter into temptation." And he withdrew from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and began to pray, saying, "Father, if thou art willing, remove this cup from me, yet not my will, but thine be done." Now an angel from heaven appeared to him, strengthening him. And being in agony, he was praying very fervently, and his sweat became like drops of blood falling down upon the ground.
This is such a powerful text of how angels were used to minister to Jesus directly. As we said in our first study on this, if Jesus needed the ministry of angels, who are we to think that we don't? Now, Sister Catherine, I'm going to ask you if you would read for me from Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews 13 and verse number, I'm sorry, Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 13 through 14. Just two verses.
Hebrews 1, which verses?
13 and 14.
13 and 14.
Yes, ma'am.
But to which of the angels has he ever said, "Sit at my right hand until I make thine enemies a footstool for thy feet"? For they are not all ministering spirits sent out to render service for the sake of those who will inherit salvation.
Okay. Okay. Can you read verse 14 again? That's actually a question.
Sorry. Yep, yeah. It is.
Yeah.
Are they not all ministering spirits sent out to render service for the sake of those who will inherit salvation?
Correct. Thank you. The Apostle Paul, writing to the church, the Hebrew church, spoke very specifically about the involvement and the ministry of angels. To me, one of the reasons this text is so powerful is that Paul actually identified their specific purpose. Verse 14, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation? That's us. They have been specifically made for the purpose of ministering on our behalf. Now, it's amazing how people can be so quick to accept demonic activity. And I say this both in reference to themselves and to the church, but not angelic activity. The Bible is filled with the ministry of angels and their involvement with God's people throughout history. So today we're going to look at one of the most, in my opinion, one of the most amazing stories in the Bible concerning how they work. And I do realize this subject is not often taught. And I realize that there's a lot of opinions about it. So I believe I'm sharing this today and last week and again next week. I believe I'm in obedience to the Holy Ghost. At the same time, I'll be very careful to say if something is an opinion versus something that I believe can be very directly proven by Scripture. So if you're new to the study, this study's not designed to be controversial. I'm just really just sincerely trying to obey God and to help those of you that God has allowed us to be connected to. So let's look at 2 Kings chapter 6. And I'm going to ask Pastor Doji from Singapore, Pastor Filipino Joy Fellowship, could you please read for me, please? And we're going to read several verses, reading verses chapter 6, 8 through 17. And I may interrupt you as we go, but if you'll just begin reading, sir, 2 Kings 6, verse 8 through 17.
Sure, Bishop. 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 8 through 17. Then the king of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel with his servants, saying, "In such and such a place shall be my camp." Mm-hmm. And the man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, "Beware that thou pass not such a place, for thither the Syrians are come down." And the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him, and warned him of, and saved himself there, not once nor twice. Therefore the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing. And he called his servants and said unto them, "Will you not show me which of us is for the king of Israel?"
They paused just a second. Pause just a second, if you would, please. So what's actually going on here? The king of Syria is really bothered because it's evident someone is intercepting the things that he's planned. And it's happened multiple times. So he gathers his servants in and he's ready to take off some heads. Somebody in the camp is betraying me. Now, I'm going to read verse 12, Brother Doji, because I want to make a point of emphasis. Watch verse 12. And one of his servants said, "None, my lord, O king, but Elisha the prophet, who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom." King, no. We're not betraying you. You got to understand, Israel's got a prophet. They have somebody that can hear the voice of the Lord. And now, let's go ahead, Brother Doji, if you would, and pick it up at verse 13. Watch.
So he said, "Go and see where he is, that I may send and get him." And it was told him, saying, "Surely he is in Dothan." Therefore he sent horses and chariots and a great army there. And they came by night and surrounded the city.
They paused. And when the servants... Pause. I think this king wanted Elisha. He sent an entire army to capture one man. Think about that for a moment. He's after one man and he sends a whole army. All right. Now let's pick it up. Brother Doji, and let's go ahead and read verse 14 again.
Therefore he sent horses and chariots and a great army there, and they came by night and surrounded the city. Verse 15, and when the servant of the man of God arose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, "Alas, my master, what shall we do?" So he answered, "Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see." Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha.
Okay, now, if you can imagine how this young servant of Elisha must have felt. He walks outside and he sees this army, the Syrian army, chariots and horses, literally surrounding the city. I can imagine his knees started knocking. I can imagine the terror that must have come into his spirit. He goes back into the house and he appeals to Elisha, told him what was going on. And he asked the question, Master, what shall we do? I think I would have maybe been a little more stronger than that. But here's the point. Notice Elisha's response. Pardon me. Don't be afraid. Don't fear. Have you ever thought God has a sense of humor at times? You know, you see an entire enemy army surrounding you with horses and chariots, no doubt armed. And the prophet says, don't be afraid. For those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And if there's anything I believe God wants to communicate to us today and through this series, it's this. I want you to notice verse 17. Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. You know, Jesus said, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. We understand he's talking about hearing, not just hearing with the ear, but hearing what the Lord is saying. Well, this is the same type of thing. This servant saw, he saw the enemy. What he could not see was what God had working in the background on his behalf. I pray today that God will open our eyes, that he'll open our spiritual eyes and allow us to see just a glimpse of how he is working on our behalf. Sometimes we can become so what appears to be overcome that we fail to really recognize that God's there, his forces are there, his angels are there, and they're there to work on our behalf. This is an amazing story. And I love it because the Bible says God gladly, he opened the eyes of the young man. Not just so that he could see angels, but get this, to give him confidence, to give him trust. Trust in who? Well, how about trust in the prophet that's speaking to him? How about trust in the man or woman of God that God's placed in your life? And he opened this young man's eyes so that he would trust the prophet, but also trust the God that gave him that prophet, that gave him the privilege of working with him and working under him and allowing that spiritual covering over his life. And by him seeing what God was doing in the background, can you imagine the confidence that that had to inject into that young man's spirit? See, they had a mission that was not yet fulfilled. Let's keep reading. Sister Lisa, are you able to read for me? That's a yes or a no. I see you unmuted.
Yes.
Okay. 2 Kings 6, 18 through 23. Watch this now.
And when they came down to him, Elisha prayed unto the Lord and said, smite this people, I pray thee, with blindness. And he smote them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. And Elisha said unto them, this is not the way, neither is this the city. Follow me, and I will bring you to the man whom ye seek. But he led them to Samaria. And it came to pass.
Pause one second. So the Assyrian army comes down, and Elisha simply prays a prayer to the Lord, says, strike this people, I pray, with blindness. And he struck them with a blindness according to the word of Elisha. Notice he didn't pray to have him killed, just blind their eyes. And then he says, this is not the way, nor is this the city. Follow me, and I'll bring you to the man whom you seek. Watch what he did. But he led them to Samaria. He took an entire army and he led them to Samaria. Now, go ahead, Lisa, starting at verse 20.
And when it came to pass, when they were come into Samaria, that Elisha said, Lord, open the eyes of these men that they may see. And the Lord opened their eyes and they saw. And behold, they were in the midst of Samaria. Verse 21.
Yes, all the way through 22, please.
Okay. And the king of Israel said unto Elisha, when he saw them, my father, shall I smite them? Shall I smite them? And he answered, thou shalt not smite them. Wouldest thou smite those whom thou hast taken captive with thy sword and with thy bow? Set bread and water before them, that they may eat and drink and go to their master.
Think about this. They were told by God to take the entire Syrian army hostage. However, not to destroy them, but to feed them and give them drink and send them back home. Verse 23, then he prepared a great feast for them. And after they ate and drank, he sent them away. They went to their master. And watch this statement now. So the bands of the Syrian raiders came no more into the land of Israel. Notice, please. He prepared a great provision for them. And as a result, the Syrian raiders came no more in the land of Israel. That is so powerful. But you hear me, please. Those God moments that God has designed for you and for me at specific times in our life, they are there to elevate our faith in God or in the God that sends us to the point that we will not be afraid regardless of what God speaks and instructs us to do, even though it looks impossible. I can't think of anything more impossible than a prophet standing in front of an army and taking them captive and leading them to Samaria. It's just hard for me that he led them and he took them back. He fed them and then let them go again. The truth is, what he was asked to do was impossible. Humanly impossible. The truth is, much of what God has asked us to do, both individually and collectively, is humanly impossible. But not with God. Not with God. With God, all things are possible. If God is leading us and we are willing to do things God's way. You see, God wants his church to have a boldness to do whatever, what we would never attempt to do otherwise. But know this, it is my strong conviction, if God is truly leading us to do what is humanly impossible, there will always be angels assigned to assist us, though you may not realize it. I want us to look at Isaiah 52, verse 12. For you shall not go out with haste, nor go by flight. For the Lord will go, notice, before you, and the God of Israel will be your rear guard or rear reward. God created angels for the sole purpose of partnering with him and his church to carry out his eternal plan. I realize this may sound so simplistic. That's it, Bishop. That's the big profound statement you want to make to us. Yes. I want us to understand angels are created by God and sent by God to minister on our behalf at times when it's humanly impossible for us. They are there to partner with us. They are there to work on our behalf. Sometimes you may recognize their presence. Sometimes you may not. But I promise you, I doubt seriously if there is ever a miracle that God performs through you or through his church that angels aren't involved with. See, it's my personal opinion that people often mistake the Holy Spirit with the ministry of angels, who according to scripture manifest the presence of God. Now let me explain. The Bible teaches the Holy Spirit is Christ in us, the hope of glory. The Bible teaches that we are filled with the Holy Spirit. The Bible says out of our belly or innermost being shall flow rivers of living water, but this spake he of the Spirit. Now, while angels are spirit beings, they do not dwell in us like God does. They're external beings that are outside of us, The prophet Isaiah said the son that would be born, Messiah, would be the Prince of Peace. Have you ever, do you know what it is when that sweet calm and peace just floods our soul as a result of being filled with the Holy Spirit? There's just this just peace. What's the songwriter say? Peace, peace, wonderful peace. There's nothing like the peace in the presence of God that is internal, that's in us, that goes with us everywhere we go. On the other hand, how many times have you felt that outer tingling that literally causes goosebumps or bumps to be raised on your skin? I was in prayer this morning, praying for this Bible study, and I began to feel those bumps begin to go all around me. I just started weeping and thanking the Lord, because one more time he was reminding me, he's in this study. He's going to be with us. And you see, when that happens, we usually say, oh, I feel the presence of the Lord so strongly. God's presence is here so strongly. And while that may be true, and it's true because angels do manifest his presence, however, it's my very strong belief that outward tingling that we feel, that, you know, crawl up your back of your neck, crawl around your skin, I truly believe that is the manifestation of angels and a confirmation that God is at work. I can tell you, again, this is just personal, very personal, but I can tell you that I've traveled to your countries. I've traveled to the places you are, and I've been in places where just seeking confirmation, feeling direction of what God would want us to say or what God would want us to do. And I would just say a simple prayer. And I would just say, God, are your angels here beside me? Are they here to work with me? Because I realize I don't command angels. There's no Bible for us commanding angels. We don't worship to angels. We don't pray to angels. But we recognize that they're part of God's eternal plan. And Lord, are you with me today? Have you sent angels to back me up today? And I can tell you, I don't know if there's ever been a time when I pray that prayer that all of a sudden that tingling begins to come around my body. And I just thank you, Lord. Thank you for the confirmation. And I'm able then to minister with boldness. I'm able then to minister with confidence that I know God's with me. Now, you can do with all that what you want. You can believe it or you can reject it. I personally believe it, and I've experienced it over the years. And by the way, let me just pause here and say today is my wife and I's 47th birthday of being called to ministry. God called us to ministry 47 years ago today. And I was thanking the Lord for that also this morning. Now, let me take this just a step further. I sincerely doubt there's anything we do or there's anything that we're involved with in the realm of the spirit or the miraculous that angels aren't involved in. This is especially true when it comes to prayer, especially intercessory prayer. Let's go to Psalms chapter 103. Looks like Pastor Jason, you're driving, so I won't ask you to read. Sister Catherine, let me go back to you. Psalms 103, 19 through 22.
Psalm 103:19-22. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word.
Notice that, please. Notice that, please. Bless the Lord, O you his angels, who excel in strength, who do his word, heeding to the voice of his word. Heeding to the voice of his word. Go ahead, Catherine, verse 21.
Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers
you
of his.
You do know the word host there literally means armies. Armies, okay? Go ahead.
Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul.
Okay. Have you ever been in prayer? And the Spirit of the Lord begins to speak through you. But you notice that the language that is coming out of you is not your usual devotional tongue that you speak so many times when you're just praying in tongues and worshiping. Just a hand, if you've ever noticed that, you've been in and God moves you in intercession. The psalmist says, angels hearken to the voice of his word. It's my belief that in true intercession, when we don't know what to pray, and the Lord begins to pray through us, it's not our words. Sometimes it's just groaning that's too deep for words. But other times there will come an intensity that will come into your spirit, and you'll begin to speak a language that is very different than your normal voice or normal tongue. It's my belief that God is praying through us, and that very well that we are giving God a voice, possibly to the angels of that region. I can tell you, I've been in parts of the country, in various countries, when I have been in intercession, and I have felt that intensity come and that language flow out of me. I've had people from that country that were in prayer with us in that time of intercession when they came to me at the end and they said, Brother Ellis, do you realize that you were speaking in our language or a dialect that they recognized? I had one man of God tell me, Brother Ellis, do you realize you were speaking Hebrew? Another time I was told we were speaking an Asian language, a Chinese language. Another time was speaking the Russian dialect. Again, I don't speak these languages. I could obviously tell something was different, but it is my very strong belief that God was literally giving us a voice, or giving himself a voice to speak to the angels in that region that are working on behalf of what was being done. Now, again, you don't have to believe me. You don't have to agree with me. It's just something that I have believed and that I have experienced. And I believe this very, very strongly. I don't try to make it up. I don't try to speak in some other dialect or language. I'm not capable of doing that anyways. But I think we need to allow ourselves to allow the Holy Ghost to truly pray through us, and allow him to do what only he can do. See, the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13:1 that there are tongues of men and of angels. Again, I've experienced that. It's my conviction that in those times of prayer, we literally are giving God a voice. Now, I want us to look at the interaction that Daniel had that came to him, that with an angel that came to him. I don't feel like I'm doing a very good job here today. I want you to notice what the angel said. I'm just going to go ahead and read Daniel chapter 10. Let's go to Daniel chapter 10. Starting in verse 12. Then he said to me, "Do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard." And watch this. "And I have come because of your words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. And behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. For I had been left alone there with the kings of Persia. Now I have come to make you understand what will happen to your people in the latter days, for the revision, for the vision refers to many days yet to come." Here's an example where God sent the angel directly to speak to Daniel, to impart understanding to Daniel. We don't have to be afraid of what God does or how God does it. We just simply need to position ourselves and to allow him to do what only he can do. I want to look at the beginning of Jesus' earthly ministry. Look at Mark chapter 1, 12 through 13. Missionary Scott Grant from Quebec, could you read for me, please, Mark chapter 1, verses 12 and 13?
Mark 1, verse 12. "And immediately the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness, and he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan, and was with the wild beasts, and the angels ministered unto him."
Everybody see that? He was driven into the wilderness. He's directly attacked by Satan. And the angels ministered to him. Now, let's go into the garden. We've already read this. Scott, can you go ahead and continue reading for me? Luke 22, 41 through 44.
Yeah, sir, I didn't realize I muted myself again. Luke 22.
Yes, sir. 41 through 44.
Mm-hmm. 41. "And he was withdrawn from them about stones cast and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Mm-hmm. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him."
Pause one moment. Can you imagine the mental torment? Now we know 3.5 years earlier, he's in the wilderness, directly tempted by Satan. Even the Bible refers to wild beasts that were there. And God sent angels to strengthen him, protect him, And now 3.5 years later, we see him. And now, can you imagine the agony that he is dealing with, directly dealing with? Think about it for a minute. And as I said to you before, he's actually, if you read his prayer and take it literally, he's actually asking to change the plan. For 3 hours, he is praying. Ellis paraphrase, Father, is there any way we can change this plan? The mental anguish that's going on in his mind. How was his prayer answered? An angel was sent to him, strengthening him. Think about that for a moment. I tell you, verse 44 would have never happened without that angel. Scott, read 44.
And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground.
Praying in agony, or being in agony, instead of what we want to do when we get in those types of things, you just want to go to sleep. When you go to where Peter, James, and John were at, Jesus came upon them, the Bible said they're sleeping for sorrow. Now, here's an opinion. I believe that had those apostles given themselves to prayer, God would have brought angelic help to them also. But instead of praying, they're sleeping. Jesus even said, could you not watch with me 1 hour? See, they were confused. They were not understanding what's going on here. Their world and their understanding of how the future was going to be was completely turned upside down. Why, Messiah is going to come and he's going to set up his throne here on the earth, here in Jerusalem, and we're going to rule with him. And now all of a sudden now he's telling us he's going to die. And can you imagine the confusion? They had given up everything to follow this one whose name is Jesus. See, so many times we don't have clear understanding of what God is doing. He'll give us insight, but then we want to add to what he told us. We want to alter his plan. We want to add things to it, not willing to just wait and pray. Jesus, the example that we should have is that in agony, he prayed more earnestly. But why did he pray that? Because, or why was that possible? Because even in his struggle of hoping the plan would change, he had enough on the inside of him that said, but not my will, but thine be done. There is nothing that will send angelic strength quicker than an act of submission. An act of surrender. And can I tell you, we don't have to always understand everything. We're not praying to angels. We're not worshiping angels. We're not even asking God to send angels. Just, Lord, just do what you want to do. I'm saying to you, God's answer to Jesus' prayer, Father's answer to his prayer was sending an angel from heaven to pour strength in him, to enable him to do what in his humanity he could not do. Again, notice please, both at the beginning and at the end of Jesus' earthly ministry, he needed angelic help. If two of the greatest prophets that ever lived, Elisha and Daniel, needed the ministry of angels to fulfill their mission, how about us? If Jesus, the manifested Son of God, God walking in human flesh, needed the ministry of angels to fulfill his earthly mission and purpose on earth, who are we that we don't? So again, I'm not trying to spook us out here with something mystical, but I am trying to help us be spiritual and help us to understand that God gave you and I angelic help. So when we may think we can't get through something, just keep praying. Keep pressing. I promise you, help's on the way. Help is on the way. In Jesus' name. Anybody want to comment, disagree, add to, correct anything I've said that's not been accurate? Brother Jason, I saw you just unmuted.
Yeah. I'm driving down the road, Bishop, and the Lord dropped this in my spirit. He said the reason why angels can act so quickly and change the situation, because they don't live in moments of glory. They live in a lifetime of his glory.
Wow.
So they live with his glory all the time, Bishop. So when he releases them, the glory doesn't have to come up. The glory's already in him. It's just coming down.
Wow. That's awesome. Powerful. Thank you. Are you more? Go ahead. I don't want to cut you off.
No, you're fine. I'm done, Bishop. Sorry.
Okay. Anybody else? Anybody else? Again, not trying to be mystical, not trying to be spooky, just trying to keep us in the spiritual vein to understand we've got help out there. We've got help out there. And God has a way of letting you know they're there. Missionary Scott Grant from Quebec.
Bishop, I just feel like in this moment, we as a group need to pray against the pressures that are there from they've been there for a while, but they've been particularly acute last number of days for Ukraine. And we're supposed to be there coming in on Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
The borders and different things are, if you've read the news, there's things going on there and they've told me about that. But the news isn't in charge. Politics isn't in charge. The war is not in charge. And I just feel like in the Holy Ghost that we need to pray, and that specifically we pray for a sign in this moment for both Sergei and those that he leads, that it would indicate the grace of God moving forward. Doesn't mean it's going to be easy, but it means that he's in charge and he's going to bring an open door.
Mm-hmm. What a tremendous protection that he talked about last week from that projectile, instead of being 2 inches to the left and going right into his daughter's bed, lodged in a board, piece of wood. And, To God be the glory. Pastor
Amen.
Sergey, go ahead and pray. Would you lead us in prayer today over this? Can everybody pray together? Let's pray together for this situation. Brother Scott, will you unmute and pray, sir?
Ileheso kobraban setso kushte bribe emanarabu shepritsin satso kutu kobraban dahaya. Lord, I pray not just that you'd open Sergey's eyes or that you'd open Sasha's eyes or that you'd open Papa Vasily's eyes, but I pray that you'd open each and every one of our eyes in this moment.
Yes.
That as Bishop has already shared and talked about, that the prayer that was prayed of a man of God who was consistently connected with you over the servant of God who saw and was able to function in a new way. That you would open each and every one of our eyes in the circumstances yes. of the moment that we're in, not only in Ukraine, in the border situations in Russia, Lord Jesus, and other places, Israel and Gaza, etc., but in each and every one of our circumstances, that our eyes would be open to see the world beyond ours, and that the strength of your anointing would bring answer in this moment in significant ways. Push back the darkness, that the intent of your spirit would be manifested in each and every one of our ministries, yes. that we would move forward in ministry
yes.
as we are ministered to by the host of heaven. And Jesus, so kalima dahaya. In the name of Jesus, I pray.
Jesus' name. Amen. 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 What a beautiful presence of the Lord that's on this study today. And as we were teaching a few moments ago, I got a text from Bishop John Putnam, and he just sent this. He was requesting prayer for his wife. She's had a large situation, a hematoma that's become infected, and today she's having surgery at noon Central Time. So that's just about, an hour away from us now. So, I wonder if, we could pray for Sister Putnam. Brother Tom Andrews, would you unmute? Will you lead us in prayer for this precious handmaiden?
Father, in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
We lift up Sister Putnam.
Yes,
Lord, to you right now,
in
knowing God,
Jesus.
That by your stripes we are healed and that nothing is impossible for you. Lord, we just pray your will be done in
yes.
this situation for your glory.
Yes.
Lord, we thank you, God, that in times when we are at a loss and we don't know why we are facing what we're facing or why we're going through what we're going through, that your spirit is always present. Lord, and I just pray, Lord, that you would be close. Let your presence be manifest in a way that she can sense, Lord, that you are completely there
yes,
with her.
Yes, yes.
And I just pray, God, that the peace of God,
yes.
amen, would be there in that situation for your glory.
Yes.
In Jesus' name.
Jesus' name.
Amen.
Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus' name. I see, her grandson, John Avery's on the call today. John, please be sure to send a message to her and let her know that we prayed for her today. Amen.
We'll do it.
Okay. Okay. Amen. 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 Anybody else before we wrap up? Anybody else before we wrap up? All right. Well, Brother Jason.
Bishop, last Sunday, you were teaching about, or last Tuesday or whatever it was, you were talking about angels, and the week before, Sunday at church, a guy in our church got up and he said, I feel like God's going to heal people's backs. So he spoke that word and we had three people instantly healed in their backs. A man that came out of the water after we baptized him, Bishop, hit, let alone was his back healed. His back was healed. His knee was healed. His whole body was healed from the top of his head to the sole of his feet. Mm-hmm. So Tuesday I got up in church and, you know, I was getting ready to teach and the Lord spoke to me and he said, I sent the angels of healing to Memphis and the ministers of healing through angels. He said here Sunday, he said, just as the presence of angels was here Sunday, the presence of angels here is Tuesday. And God started healing people Tuesday too, Bishop.
Wow.
And when Brother Clevenger was at our church a year ago, Brother Les Clevenger, Missionary Clevenger, first time in my life, Bishop, I'd ever seen, I clarified as an angel of light. It looked like light was running right through our sanctuary, right, was running around the aisles. And I seen I felt like this light run right through this man. And the man afterwards told me, Bishop, he said, God healed my emotions, Pastor, tonight. And then I seen another angel on the right side, and it went right between Sister Clevenger and another saint in our church, and God healed, they both had ankle pain, and God immediately healed their ankle pain. So I really believe, Bishop, that it's such a timely word that we're receiving, that this is not a mystical thing. This is not a thing where, you know, we're exaggerating, but this is a thing led by the Lord to break some things in ministries and in our lives that we've been trying to fight against. The Lord is sending a host of angels to help us break these, barriers in our churches. That's what.
Amen. 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 In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Well, listen, we love you all. And it's past time. Brother Sergey from Odessa just now realized you were on the study. Lord bless you. Good to see you, sir. Amen. Amen. Well, God bless you all. We love you. And again, please don't write me off. I'm not nuts. I'm not out of the book. And we love you all in Jesus' name. God bless. Bye-bye.